The first cell phone was demonstrated in 1973 by Martin Cooper. You know what wasn't demonstrated? Shared plans. Over 50 years later, you can save on one line thanks to Visible. When you switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless Visible, you can get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon for just $25 a month, taxes and fees included. No hidden fees. No, really. You can look around for them. They're not there. Switch now at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Hey there, it's Rachel Ballinger, and I am thrilled to invite you to Rachel Uncensored, my podcast where I get real with my friends and celebrity guests, where we talk about all sorts of topics. From personal stories to hot button issues, we cover it all. New episodes drop every Wednesday, so make sure you tune in on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Trust me, you won't want to miss out on the fun and candid conversations we have here on Rachel Uncensored.
Do not underestimate the power of PlayStation.
Beyond.
Yeah.
We haven't done that in like a while.
You did it.
You sure did. Good job, everybody. Great work, everybody.
You know why we're excited, right?
Because it's, I don't know, because it's a weekday.
It's the 501st episode.
That's true.
Woo!
What a road.
Yes.
Last week was insane.
Now
501.
Okay, let's just address this. Let's just get right into this. First things first. I'm Max Scoville. This is Brian Altano.
Beyond.
Jonathan Dornbush.
Charmed, I'm sure.
And Marty Sliva.
What?
Now, if you're watching Beyond or listening to it or whatever, the point is go to youtube.com/IGNBeyond and just go subscribe to that channel. We go in there, we go in the comments, we get in little fights. It's a grand time, and we'd love it if you join us there. Sometimes we put up funny videos, like the likes of which you've never seen. Anyway, let's get down to housekeeping and business and what have you. This is episode 501.
Yes. Mm.
We had a huge, spectacular 500th episode last week that we didn't even record. It was so good. It was
so
great.
Yeah. So full disclosure, usually on the hundreds, we do something big. 400, we had a house party here in San Francisco. Mm-hmm. 300, we did a live one in the office. But just the timing of 500 was the literal worst because it fell right in between E3 and Comic-Con. Mm-hmm. And so instead of sort of cobble something together half-assed, we are going to save 500 / the 10th anniversary of Beyond for early September at PAX.
Yeah.
In Seattle.
PAX is a thing. It's a big video game convention. If you go to conventions, you should go to it. It's fun. It's a grand old time. And it's not just like, hey, book tickets to the most expensive city in America to stay there. For one thing.
So if you're going to
in
PAX,
Seattle, and you can have a fun
or if
time.
You live in the Seattle area, we're going to do a non-PAX related giant Beyond 500 10th year anniversary party. That
Sweet.
That's true. We also wanted to give you guys enough heads up time to get over there, get tickets.
You got a couple months.
If you live far, you can start walking or swimming now, and you'll get there by then.
Yeah.
If it's
on the mighty Puget Sound, so you can get there by schooner.
Puget.
Yeah.
If we were going to do it exactly on when the 500th episode should have been, which is last week, it was the 3rd of July, so that would have been bad for anybody trying to travel.
Very patriotic,
though.
I went to a wedding on the 3rd of July once. It's just the worst. Don't do that.
Yeah. Also, can we talk about weddings?
No, it's a
PlayStation podcast. What's wrong with you? Let's talk about Crash Bandicoot.
That's right. We'll see you guys then in the fall.
Jonathan, yes. I heard on the internet that you reviewed Crash Bandicoot and you did it bad and it wasn't
a good review. I don't know. Games are hard.
Yeah.
I don't know how to play them.
But
I only beat all three of them.
Yeah, and you earned a hat.
I did. If you beat all three games, you win this hat.
Full disclosure.
A money hat.
True hat.
Saying that it was a good game, you were given a really... very flattering hat.
They are totally separate.
They sent you that hat before you reviewed it.
It was
and it did not affect your score.
That sent me the hat.
I'm going to tell you something I've never told anyone. That Crash Bandicoot hat actually looks good on you.
Thank you.
That's a weird sentence.
I haven't worn a hat in about 7 years, so I appreciate
that. Well, there you go.
Yeah.
Well, the last Crash game was probably 7 years ago.
They say riding a bicycle is a lot like wearing a hat.
Skip right back on.
Anyway, okay, so let's talk about Crash.
You like Crash.
So I reviewed it. I give it an 8.5. You can read the full thing on IGN.com. I had a really great time with the trilogy as a whole. One is the one example that doesn't hold up as well, just because it was sort of... they were technically limited at the time, and Vicarious Visions, who did the remake for all three, didn't want to mess with what was there. So you still get sort of it is harder... the moveset is limited to what he can do. The jumps are obviously more difficult. But 2 and 3 for me really held up.
I think that's important to take note of, because we sort of always delve in that weird area between should something be fully remade, should something be ported in, you know, completely with integrity.
Yeah.
We talked recently about
Shadow of the Colossus.
Right. Yeah.
And avoiding the sort of like George Lucas syndrome of like adding too much, taking away too much, kind of missing the magic of it. So I think it's Crash Bandicoot falls in a weird, well, he falls in a lot of pits, but he falls in a weird, interesting time in terms of like 3D mascot platforming games.
Yes,
because
sure.
The first one doesn't technically feel like a 3D game.
No, it's
right?
It is, but it's very much the linear,
yes.
Instead of side to side, it is front to back, so you're going forward or towards the screen.
It's not even like a sort of like a Gex or a Mario 64 or even like a Bubsy 3D or anything.
Yeah.
Banjo, all those sort of mascot platformers that, you know, aside from Gex, we've seen come back in some shape or form. I don't know how Bubsy got another life, but I guess cats have several of those.
Yeah, that's true.
This is like, it's a weird game to sort of bring back now, right?
Yeah, so I honestly think one was probably included for the nostalgia purpose of it, and because it'd be weird to have say, hey, Crash is back, but we forgot where he actually started.
Yeah.
Like, it's understandable, and the thing about the remake to me is that they did a great job of visually and the audio-wise updating everything. Like, it feels great, like, it looks beautiful.
Yeah.
The soundtrack, it's not the same soundtrack, so I know some people have misgivings about it. I think it sounds great.
Mm-hmm. Do we know what happened with that?
I think they wanted to just modernize it and make it an HD soundtrack. So they re-recorded things, and so they took some liberties with, I think, the instruments used, sort of the instrumentation, like the actual...
Because it wasn't like a Vicarious Visions Tony Hawk thing where like everything was tied up in licensed music or anything.
Yeah, right? No, there, it was all in original.
It wasn't like
soundtrack.
A Crash Bandicoot, Del the Funky Homo sapiens.
Yeah, so Crash opens with him sliding through the jungle to Ace of Spades. They couldn't use that song,
it was tough.
So it never
sounds like a good game.
Yeah, I'd play that game.
No, what's interesting, though, is I interviewed these guys at E3 about it, and this isn't just... I think they were calling it like a remaster plus, and people are like, it's not a remaster. You rebuilt it from the ground up. Like, be honest with yourself. They took Naughty Dog's original sort of geometry.
Yeah, they had the wireframes. I spoke to them as well before E3.
And then everything else, they redid it.
Yeah. You
know? They completely rebuilt it. And I think there's something special, and you see this with, Bluepoint, who's doing Shadow of the Colossus? And I mean, Vicarious Visions has done, they've done modern Crash games.
Yeah.
Like, they've made a bunch for like Game Boy Advance and 3DS and all that, and whatever the hell it was. So they have obviously experience with the character and with making these games, but they don't want to step on Naughty Dog's feet. You know, they're not trying to like, I think if it was given a Naughty Dog, first of all, they'd be like, oh, this again, you know, also they'd probably want to go in and tweak it, and you would have that George Lucas effect.
Yeah, which is what we saw last year with Ratchet and Clank. And it was Insomniac doing it again. Mm-hmm. And that was more of a grounds up, just a complete remake.
Yeah.
It was taking like the core premise of the original game and pretty much throwing everything out and being like, hey, we're creating a new game that just has that same story.
Yeah, right? And speaking of the Vicarious guys, they were, some of them, one of the directors on the project, I believe he worked on Crash Nitro Kart, which is the sequel to Crash Team Racing. Mm-hmm. You have people who worked on the GBA games. Like, everyone has been involved with the Crash legacy, and they wanted to honor the games that they loved that got them into making games.
Yeah.
And so you have this carry through where, in the first game, Crash can only jump and spin, basically. But once you get into 2 and 3, it still feels great. Like, it was exactly what I wanted when I played. It was what I remembered.
Yeah.
So how do you review sort of a collection of games like this? Because, I mean, obviously, a lot of these games hit at different points in people's childhood.
Yeah.
There's that weird nostalgia factor that, like, people remember something better than it actually is sometimes.
Yes, yeah.
But then the remake sort of brings it to where you thought you remembered it.
Yeah, so this was probably actually the hardest review I had to do in just terms of figuring out where it falls on that spectrum of what we're reviewing. And there is, I wrote a piece about it, so it's not like it's non-disclosed, but I have a very sentimental attachment to Crash. They were my mom who passed away, her favorite games. We would play them all the time together. And so I have very fond and extensive memories of playing Crash as a kid. So when I was able to put in the game, start up Cortex Strikes Back, and it felt the same, I was like, okay, there's something here that works.
Yeah,
right.
And it was sort of this blend of what they did bring back that does work, and the visual and audio upgrade that they do is fantastic, and I can't deny the work that went into that. Crash 1 is still not a great game, and so it is that thing in the review where I'm like, hey, if you're picking up this and you've never played Crash, don't start with 1. Like, you're not going to have a good time, and you're not going to get why so many people are excited about
this. Do you feel that there's sort of, like, credence to the rumors that the architecture that they built here, the new character models they've been built here, this entire, everything coming together in synchronicity, do you think this is actually going to lead to a new Crash Bandicoot game, like, officially?
I hope so. I mean, I think it is definitely, they saw the sort of groundswell of excitement about Crash, especially, and I think Skylanders was the first dip into that pool to see whether or not. Mm-hmm. I think the whole team at Vicarious Visions would love to. Like, they made no bones about, like, hey, we would love to keep making Crash games, and I think this seems to be selling well. There have been talks about sort of its sales in the UK that it was doing fantastic.
I saw that. Yeah, it sold really well.
And there's sort of like rumors of a DLC. There's some like trophies.
Some trophies you can sort of see pop up that says like Lost Treasures, and we don't know what that is. So clearly they've made some original stuff. Yeah.
You think with the success of Mario Kart on Switch that maybe we'll see like Crash Team Racing get like a full
I would love that.
Oh, man.
Yeah. So the funniest thing about like in the lead up to the game releasing, everyone was like, hey, is CTR a secret like part of this game? Because some of the trophies even hint at CTR things. And it was like, oh, this has got to be there. And obviously we haven't found anything, but I think everyone would love that.
Yeah. Crash Team Racing is one of the few like Nintendo Mario Sport imitators that actually was almost as good as traditional. Yeah. Like there have been like there was Sonic Shuffle, which was a party game. There have been South Park racing games.
Sonic All-Stars Racing
was pretty good, but like PlayStation All-Stars was definitely a step below Smash, whereas like CTR could like hold its own.
Was as close as, especially of like N64.
Of that era. Yeah.
I think when you talk to people within a 7-year radius of our general age group at this table, it comes down to Mario Kart, Crash Team Racing, or Donkey Kong, or Diddy Kong Racing,
as
people's like favorite kart racer of all time.
Yeah.
And we've seen Mario Kart come back several times.
Diddy Kong came back on
Diddy Kong came back on the DS, but they completely like borked it and added a bunch of screen stuff.
Yeah.
So I think I think Crash could do really well running off these assets.
Yes.
You know, a sort of modified version of this engine, obviously.
And learning from all the stuff Nintendo's done since then, like, up through Mario Kart 8.
Yeah.
I think you could make a gorgeous kart racer on PS4. 100%.
And you're missing that on PlayStation.
Yeah. You know? And I don't want them to. The thing about it is I think these first three Crash games are probably the best examples of the franchise. Yeah. I don't want them going to Wrath of Cortex, which is the fourth game, it's not great.
Yeah.
And some of the later ones have Twinsanity. Yeah, like they have
once
some...
it was Activision who was handling it. It's like there's a Crash and Spyro crossover.
Yes,
was,
they're GBA
purple,
games.
Purple and Orange, which was Vicarious Visions. Yeah. That obviously everyone's kind of hankering for Spyro.
I would love a Spyro trilogy remaster. Yeah. Like Ripto's Rage is also, in the way that I love Cortex Strikes Back and Warped, Ripto's Rage is like one of those games that defy my childhood.
Yeah. And I think it's really cool that we're in this era now where not only do we have nostalgia for these things, but there are also developers that do too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they realize it's the right time to bring something like that back. Like when you look at sort of the pantheon of 3D mascot characters, you never really would have thought the ones that are still around today would be the ones that are still around today. And yet we still see them here and there. I mean, even we saw Banjo in the Rare collection.
Yeah,
a little while.
Yeah.
And on PlayStation specifically, you don't get a ton of 3D platforming games. I mean, we got Ratchet, but that was a little more shootery.
It's more actiony.
Yeah.
Yes. Sly hasn't been around in the last like 5 years.
Yeah. Obviously, and Jack and Daxter, to the extent that it was.
Sure.
And we had, you know, for a little while there, the Mod Nation Racer franchise.
Yeah.
Which was which was like kind of scratched the itch for me. And I really liked the sort of like, you know, create your own level thing. Mario Kart wasn't doing anything like that.
Yeah.
It still hasn't been. But I think it's totally time for CTR to return.
Yeah,
little
Big Planet karting, which wasn't great. Yeah.
I
wish they would just do like Uncarted and The Last of Bus.
Yeah.
The Last of Bus.
Yeah, I just want to see the rest
driving
of the dog.
What about Horizon Zero Dawn?
You mean Forza Horizon Zero Dawn?
There we go.
There we go. Speaking of which, changing the subject, Horizon Zero Dawn got a huge new patch.
Yep.
This is cool. It adds New Game Plus, which means that you get to relive the adventures of Aloy without losing your character progression and your collected inventory. So yeah, you get to progress beyond the level cap of 50, but you can still collect XP during your adventure.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like, and it adds that, it adds a super hard mode, and it adds some different like face paint options and stuff.
It's really cool.
Two new trophies.
Yeah, exactly. New trophies.
The super hard mode, I should note, is the only difficulty in the game that you cannot adjust once you're in it. So if you're in there and you're getting beat up, you're like 20 hours in.
Yeah.
Oh man,
tough it out, dude.
Yeah, this is cool as hell because we just got, obviously, if you're playing Zelda on Switch, you just got the Heroes Trials and stuff, which also adds a big hard.
Yep. Yep. Yep.
It's crazy how the conversation around these games has been so close.
It's just gonna continue.
Yeah.
I mean, they were like a week or two apart at launch, and now here they are again, or a couple weeks apart at launch, and here they are again.
They're both getting story DLC sometime this fall,
And
then obviously they're both going to be front runners when we're talking about Game of the Year.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It's great timing.
I mean, I think you can. To me, you can call Game of the Year between these two right there.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm probably going to give it to Zelda.
No, we're going to talk about one game later on that I finished.
Oh yeah,
is the video game of the year.
What's that?
It has a talking cat, and Andrew likes it.
All right.
Well, that doesn't narrow it down much at all.
No, this is really cool. I like
the Time Sweeper.
I like that they're continuing to support Horizon. Obviously, this is a huge new franchise for Sony. It's very important for them to have kind of another tentpole action third-party franchise that opens the open world segment of things a lot more than Uncharted does.
Yeah.
I adored this game. I put like 55 hours in. Yeah. I don't necessarily know if I'll go back for New Game Plus stuff, but you never know. Like, I have weird... You know, you wake up like on a Sunday and you turn on your PS4 and like, what do you want to play? And you see that icon and all of a sudden 15 hours later, you're in it.
Yeah.
And you're doing it again. I had the same thing with Zelda where I'm like, I'm done with this game. And I started the master mode. And like 3 days later, I was like, oh, God, I did it again.
Yeah. When I saw your tweet that you had gotten the Master Sword after that was out for a weekend, I was like, how? But like, when you get sucked into something you love.
I think with open world games, especially, there's like a comfort food to them.
Yeah.
And Horizon has that.
I think the Horizon loop is great.
Oh,
I still have to finish it. I got sidetracked just because of timing, but I'm excited to step back and finish the game and probably dip into New Game Plus.
Yeah.
I really, really love, I feel like there was a couple years there after Resident Evil 4 and a bunch of other notable ones where New Game Plus was a thing that was like almost mandatory.
Yeah.
And then we moved away from it. Like, it's not something that's very common anymore, especially for games like this. So to see this come back is awesome.
Yeah.
The level cap thing doesn't mean anything to me because I think I hit that pretty early on.
Yeah.
But it's cool to have an excuse to go back and just fight harder dinosaurs and get ready for the fall.
And to sort of prepare you for Frozen Wilds.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's funny that you mentioned New Game Plus because I finished Persona and then I jumped into Nier.
Yeah,
that was just one of the games in my backlog that everyone who played it was like, this was awesome, but it just got lost.
Yeah.
And first off, that game is incredible. And second off, like, I don't want to go into spoilers, but that game does some of the smartest stuff with the idea of New Game Plus of any game I've ever seen. And it's sort of like, it's almost like disingenuous to call it a New Game Plus, but like, the game doesn't end when you beat it.
Yeah.
Like,
I love that.
If you quit after the first time, whatever, 9-10 hours into it, and you're like, I saw the ending, I'm done. It's like,
I think
you didn't finish that game.
One of my favorite games to ever do that is Killer 7 when you beat it and start a new game.
Killer 8.
Killer 8.
Yeah.
And it's like, what?
Oh, this is a different game now.
The sequel's in here?
Yeah.
One last note. There are new trophies in this game. They don't affect your platinum if you got that already. They're just kind of like extra
DLC
bonus.
That's a nice approach.
Yeah, it's kind of cool.
Yeah, because that would have been weird if it would have like, all of a sudden it's like, oh, no, you don't have the platinum.
If they retroactively took it from you?
Yeah.
They already like emailed you the theme and everything that you want. Yeah.
Like, hey, you need to send that back.
We own that now.
This is an email. We need to send it back.
Also, it's just a good excuse to go back into that game's photo mode because, my God, is that game's pretty. I've spent as much time in the photo mode as I have played.
Seriously. Dude, I read a really funny thing the other day. I forget where it was. It was on a message board where a guy who was going around that game like screen capping everything and trying to pose so his character wasn't in the shot. And someone else was like, you know, there's a photo.
Oh, no. Oops.
Oh.
So sad.
Oh, man.
That's a bummer.
Yeah. No, that's really cool. I think also we're probably going to see, if not a price drop, like a sale on PlayStation Pro.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this is a perfect game to demo that. And at the same time, there's also going to be tons of Game of the Year discussions later on. It's probably, I don't know if it's going to get a Game of the Year edition or what, but
I would imagine when DLC comes out.
Some kind of a bundled thing. But the timing was so good with that. And the fact that there's New Game Plus, I imagine a lot of people will be like, I want to go back. I want to go back to that game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Maybe you get like a 4K TV or whatever, and you're like, let me see what those dinosaurs look like when I could
it's
really
time
see.
Now, like, it's sort of a slow 2 months for games.
Yeah.
There's like a lull before. I think Destiny's probably the first big fall game.
Yeah.
So you have 2 months to either go back and jump back into games you didn't finish, or just like, I'm playing Nier because I never started it in the first place.
Yeah. Horizon is still the best looking video game I've ever played, especially in 4K with HDR. I've plugged this before. I get people still asking me this, but I have it's the Samsung KS8000 is the TV that just like Horizon and that TV are just match made in heaven.
Yeah, that's the one a bunch of IGN people
have.
And we have one out there. Too. Yeah. So I know a lot of people have asked us, like even on Unlocked, and be like, hey, I'm going to get an Xbox One
just
X. So
head on down to Best Buy or come on down to the IGN offices and we'll
go to Circuit City.
Yeah, don't go there.
Go to Circuit City.
It's a dead city.
That old haunted place
where you get some cool skeleton masks.
I was about to say, that's a Halloween Express.
I have a 30-inch CRT.
I took a bunch of PS3 games and I hid them behind a shelf in the Circuit City in my town. When it was about to go out of business because the prices kept dropping. And I went in on the last day and they're like, 80% off everything. And I was like, ooh, prizes, which I think is stealing, but does it count if they're already dead?
Well, you know
who knows? Sound off in the comments below.
Yeah, it's called grave robbing.
Right. You're totally right. There is a word for that.
Yeah, that's how mummies get you.
Anyway,
oops.
We got a bunch of news about PS Now, which is, of course, the streaming service for PS4. Did I hear right? I think I read a news story about this like 2 weeks ago, but they basically pulled support for Vita and PS3?
Vita, I believe.
Vita.
Yeah,
right.
PS3 is still there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So now you can, but I mean, they're also leaning into having more PS4 stuff on there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I mean,
they officially launched a lineup of something like 22 or 23 games in North America. Yeah. Kind of like twice as many in Europe.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is, yeah. First of all, that's a pretty huge disparity right there. But second of all, it's like kind of took you long enough, right?
Like, yeah. And I was a little, like, again, I hate complaining because I'm like, you added something to a service and without charging us more. But at the same time, the lineup is kind of lackluster. Like, I was really hoping, I'm like, oh, this is great. You can put The Order on there and Until Dawn and Bloodborne and all
Infamous.
These. Like, yeah, yeah. But instead, it's like Killzone and then God of War 3 remastered. Ultra Street Fighter 4, Darksiders 2, like some cool indies like Nidhogg and Helldivers and Broken Age. But overall, I was just sort of like, I don't know. I kind of wish they would have dug into those games that like they've been around for 3 or 4 years. Like, it's fine. Like, I don't know. Put The Last of Us remastered.
I think yeah. I'm totally with you. I think that the complete and utter sort of lack of like significant exclusive first-party games directly from Sony on this list is weirdly telling.
Yeah.
I think they'll get there, and they'll get more eventually. Maybe they're doing sort of a like Nintendo Virtual Console thing or a Netflix approach where like things will trickle out over the time. If it also means a Netflix approach, if things will disappear over time, we've seen that with licensing issues in the past.
That's definitely that's happening with Game Pass, the sort of Xbox version of this that just launched recently.
Right, where people look at the numbers and they're like, well, we're paying Activision $25,000 a month for this, and we're not seeing that on our back end. It's an interesting service too, because they're streaming at 720p.
Yeah.
So it kind of begs the question, like, who is this for? Yeah. You know? I think the cool thing about it, obviously, if you've messed with PlayStation Now before, is that you can play these games on your PC, which there's something kind of novel about that.
Sure. Yeah.
Like,
stream them on a TV.
Sony.
Yeah. There's some cool stuff there. Like, if you have a PS4 in one room, or you have a subscription, and you want to play in a different room in your house, like, there's weird little like things you can do. Twerks.
Twerks as one is wanted.
Yeah,
I don't use this, but I know like there's a bunch of people on a Facebook group that use it and swear by it.
Yeah,
like,
it makes a ton of sense for traveling if you don't want to lug your PS4.
Exactly.
Yeah. Same with remote play though. What I think is, I think it feels so much like that weird department at Sony that's more in line with like the Vita TV or the Xperia Play, where it's like kind of a half baked idea that they threw money at and it didn't quite pay off the way they wanted it to, and it seems like they're almost kind of withholding support because of that.
Well, it feels like the first iteration of something, right? Mm-hmm, which is usually the one that like us as a sort of guinea pigs go out there and test for the people who make it, and then a couple of years later, someone will be using a version of this thing that's just phenomenal. Mm-hmm, but when we first heard about sort of this like cloud computing dream from Sony a couple years ago about like, you won't even need a console, we'll beam the game to you. Like,
why not buy a console?
Yeah.
It's like, well, you sold me a console. But they're also like, they're getting it there, and there's been a couple cool instances of me being like, oh, they have Mega Man 9. I haven't played that game in a long time.
Yeah.
And then I go to play it and I'm like, oh, that's great. That's cool. But then you go to find some of those games on the store and they're not there.
Yeah.
And like, sometimes I know like ownership isn't ownership when it's digital, but it's nice to know that like I have that game even in my digital library.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So like, there's a weird loss in translation things that happens between like physical games that you can't buy the actual physical copy for to run on your PS4. Digital games that don't exist on the PS4 store, and PS Now games that you download as like 720p icons on your PlayStation 4, but you don't actually have downloaded. Like, that's the other thing. It doesn't let you download these games.
Unlike Microsoft.
Right.
Which does let you download.
So to me, I was like, oh, this is a great service for people like in the military and stuff like that. People who with like kind of like, you know, a little more distant internet connections. And it's like, no, that's actually the opposite of what they would benefit from in a situation like that. So I think it still has some twerks to figure out.
Stop talking about
some butt shakes.
Yeah,
but and they'll get there. You know, they'll get there.
Sony has been twerking on it for a while, and they have ever since PS Now launched, like way back in the day. They have tweaked how the subscription model worked. Twerked, whether it was the pricing or the structure of it all. So they've clearly been shown that they're willing to support it. This does feel though very much like a first half measure.
Sure. Do you think that hurts the product, the fact that it is so kind of iterative and so they're like, here's this thing we've been working on. You've got an icon for it on the store, and they're kind of like, I haven't paid attention to it because I checked it out when they did that first sort of demo trial period.
Well, I think you miss the excitement of like redesigning a product every year like you do with like, you know, we've seen multiple different PlayStation hardware revisions over the years, from PS3 to the Vita to even the PS4. There's a new iPhone every year, new Android phones every year. But this is just like an icon, and they're like, it's a little better. They can't really deliver that message.
Almost wouldn't surprise me if they just kind of put it back in the oven and it came back and they were like, hey, here's a new, it's PlayStation Cloud or something.
Yeah.
You know, it's something that's, first of all, I get it. Make like, what is it? There was
It was the home.
PlayStation Now is just kind of like it's like HBO Now versus HBO Go. I pay for one of those and I can't remember which one it is.
Yeah.
That said, like if you have a couple bucks and you want to sign up for a month and burn through like an incredible backlog of like really cool games that you totally missed, this is a great service for that. Yep. I mean, you have to throw out the fact that like you're not playing in HDR, 4K, and all that junk. Yeah. But it's in terms of catching up on a bunch of games, it's a cool way to do.
And there is a clear audience for it. Like I know on IGN, whenever we write about PS Now, it is very popular. Yeah. Like those stories always blow up, and I think it is because it is a service that is not for us.
Yeah,
and it is for a larger readership.
And I almost feel like this would have been awesome like back when I was in school, and it was like you get three months off for the summer. And I'm like, let's just get 3 months of this thing.
Yeah.
And I, like you said, I will burn through these games. I'll play these games for 10 hours a day and burn through like seven or eight things I want.
Because I think the business model for a lot of people who play video games, and I was there, I used to be there in the past, is you buy a game, you play it as much as you can, you trade it in, you buy a game, you play it as much as you can. I mean, this is like, that's the sort of like, that's what I did in college. That's what I did when I was broke.
Yeah.
And I was like working crappy jobs. Like you just do that. So if you can pay a subscription model or even like get a card for a free month and jump online and download or you know, stream a bunch of games, not download. There's no actual physical or digital ownership. I think it's a cool service. But yeah, I'm excited to see this thing grow. It's very odd. Did we mention in Europe they have stuff like Tearaway, Heavy Rain, and Alienation, which are, you know,
cool,
really cool games.
Games.
Why aren't they here? You know,
That's kind of weird. So yeah, I'm curious to see how often they add to this. Like if every month they add a dozen games.
I think their goal is definitely monthly updates, but how much will
I think one of the questionable things we saw was like they launched the Uncharted games on there around the same time as the Uncharted Collection, which looked better on PS4.
Yeah, sure.
You get like weird mixed messaging. Like I imagine seeing the Crash games on there versus just playing them like in HD.
Yeah,
like,
it wouldn't quite be the same.
Yeah. Also, if you've got crappy internet, you're going to be dealing with lag. And then it's like, oh, well, maybe you play a game that leans more on telling you a story. And then you're like, oh, I'm playing Heavy Rain in 720p. And that doesn't look great either. So it's kind of like, what's the ideal game for this?
Yeah. Maybe Mega Man 9.
Yes. What could go wrong?
Yeah.
Battlefront 2 multiplayer beta on October 4th for people who pre-ordered it. That's like a... we'll get around to doing that. Yeah. Then there is a public beta on October 6th, which ends on October 9th. We'll be having more details at Gamescom, but let's see. In addition to early beta access, pre-orderers will also get bonus content, including Yoda's epic lightsaber mastery star card, which is only available while supplies last.
I don't understand that.
It's not a supply.
It's not. It's a JPEG.
JPEG and a value on a spreadsheet somewhere.
But the stuff you get is you get the Theed Galactic Assault map.
Which we saw played at E3.
That was the big thing at E3. And then you get a multiplayer Starfighter Assault.
Yeah, so that's the one we'll find out more about at Gamescom next month. We'll go hands-on with it. That's apparently going to be like their big space battle.
Yeah.
Which you may have missed, but they had those at the end of the last game in the Death Star DLC. Mm-hmm. They let you fly around in space. I think people just wanted a space battle where you couldn't see the ground.
Yeah.
Like that is a very specific thing. I totally get it. It sounds like they're really making that. My hope is that they really speed up the sort of ins and outs of getting into one of those matches. My biggest problem with the space battles was getting shot down in your X-Wing and then having to like do that It was like a walk of shame.
See, that's
back
that
into
is,
the match where it's just like,
I mean, one of the things that really won me over on Battlefront was just the speed at which you got back in the game.
Yeah, totally.
Shooting wise. And like, I've totally fallen in love with Battlefield because they're also really good about that. Like, the respawn time is very short. You don't feel like you're being put on timeout.
Yep.
But flying back into space battles with that was like, or not space, whatever, the flying ones, whatever they're called. You'd be like, you'd get like an ATI interceptor where you're like, one of my powers is a boost. You'd use your boost and you still wouldn't be back in the battle. You wait for it to recharge and you're like, now I can fight the other man. And it's just like, I don't know.
Yeah. And the Theed stuff we saw already looks awesome. It's that gorgeous planet, the city on Naboo. There'll be battle droids and who else is in there? Did we see? I don't know how many heroes.
There were a couple heroes. Yeah. There was Boba Fett. There was Rey.
Kylo Ren.
Yeah.
They've confirmed a bunch of Han Solo heroes and.
Yes, possibly. And there was somebody has been digging through something and finding a list of heroes out there. So
I'm dying to play this game.
Yeah, me too.
I mean, we're just talking about how like the first Crash Bandicoot, not a great game, kind of you know, built the foundation, set the groundwork. That's what the first Battlefront was, and they were trying to hit a very sweet spot date of coming out a month before the new Star Wars movie everyone's excited about.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I say this a lot. That game goes on sale on PlayStation all the time for, like, the full game with everything in it.
Yeah.
If you want something just quick to burn through, like, that's a fun one to just check out the maps and stuff like that. It usually goes for, like, $20 or even cheaper.
Yeah.
If you want to play something before that game comes out. I have no idea how well those mechanics will carry over.
Sure.
It seems like this is going to get a little more hardcore, but we'll see.
Yeah. I think it's weird to call it hardcore because at this point, people who are still playing Battlefront 1 are, like, just way too good at it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they've got, like, all the cool hats that take just hours and hours to unlock. And the game isn't really, like, people say it's arcadey. I think it's more, it's just, like, kind of unforgiving. Like, it's very, like, if you get shot once, you are probably out, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, depending, I mean, obviously you have health and you can go heal and stuff, but something like Battlefield, you know, you can go, you can get, there are medics, like, there's healing and stuff, and there are mechanics they added in there, but it was kind of like, kind of just stripped down, you know?
Yeah.
I can't believe we're getting a new Star Wars game in just a few months. I'm
yeah,
so
be great.
Damn excited
yeah.
We
about
might,
that.
And obviously we're going to hear more next month. They've confirmed at Gamescom, but this weekend is a show called D23,
mm-hmm.
which is just a Disney con that Disney throws. And we know that there's a games panel.
Yeah.
And so that's where we know Kingdom Hearts 3.
Yeah, the new trailer.
Yeah. And then maybe some more of Insomniac Spider-Man, some Marvel vs. Capcom, maybe some of this.
Anything in the Disney family is on the table.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, sweet. We'll have more on that, obviously, next week.
The Muppets game.
Ooh. There is a PS4.
No, I'm really excited about that. That sounds great.
Want a Muppets game?
Yeah. Is that real?
No.
No.
Oh, I hate you. Put your hat back on.
The Muppets and Frostbite. It'd be beautiful. So, PS4 Pro patch is coming to Witcher 3. That's good news.
Mm-hmm.
One of the guys from CD Projekt Red said,
Marcin Maman.
We are working on it. I can confirm that we are working on both Xbox One X and PS4 Pro patches for The Witcher 3. Okay.
Yeah,
that's it. That's the story. That's a gorgeous game to begin with. If you've seen it running on PC and high-end settings, that's obviously there's something there to do with that.
Yeah.
That's another one where, like, you can get for dirt cheap right now, and you'll play for 5,000 hours.
Also has a new game plus. It's got two massive story expansions.
That's pretty much their own games.
One of them is just an entirely new map. It's this weird fairy tale world. You have to fight a bunch of, like, pumpkins coming out of the ground and stuff.
Ooh, I don't like that.
That's an awesome game. My roommate Callie Plaguey, who works at GameSpot now, is playing it right now, and I'm like, "Have you read the books?" And she's like, "No." And I'm like, "I'm getting the books." And there's like the first book. I'm very excited.
Stop making the kids in your house read.
They're, well, they
gonna
like
be a
the
TV
games,
show soon, so.
Well,
or do make them read, but stop making them read that.
It's like fairy tales, but there's lots of drinking and banging.
The Witcher Netflix, the Witcher coming to Netflix is still the biggest news story on IGN this year.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
It is the number one news story. Yeah.
That rules.
Yeah.
This is old news to tell you when we were planning the show. The GTA 5 alien mission was finally unlocked. There was all these weird kind of hints and cues about stuff that maybe was in there. Somebody figured out how to do that, just goofing around in the back end of that game.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, in GTA Online.
Yeah, they were, right. That's what people were hoping, it was in the main game, but sort of everything that people are doing now is in online, which just has the longest tail ever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But basically, there's this whole mission where you go and there's a downed spaceship and there's a bunch of dead cops everywhere, and then these aliens come out and you have to fight them and you steal an alien egg and then you run back home and
What's going on with the alien egg?
So, I mean, if you play that game, there's all these, like, and I feel like Rockstar always likes to mess with their audience by putting, like, there's that famous Easter egg, and I think GTA 3, where if you're on top of this building that's pretty much impossible to get to unless you're glitching it, just says, you shouldn't be able to read this, and there's a sign there, or it's, like, inside a building or something.
Yeah.
I feel like this was, I don't know if we'll ever get the answer on this, but I feel like this could have been kind of the tip of the iceberg for an Undead Nightmare type of expansion, like, just throwing a bunch of weird, like Roswell stuff in GTA 5 and being like, yeah, you get laser weapons and stuff.
Yeah, I mean, that's I think people, anyone who's still holding out for story mode DLC in GTA 5 shouldn't.
Yeah, that's not going
to
happen.
That. There's an entire website dedicated to that. It's just is GTA 5 story DLC out is the URL or whatever.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's just no.
It's not.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think the focus is moving to Red Dead and you'll get your
and
story.
And I mean, online is literally its own entire giant, massive game.
Yeah.
It has the weirdest stuff added to it.
I'm consistently amazed at how that has expanded in the directions it's gone. Like that weird, like, roller coaster micro machine stuff they added recently. Like, I'll see a tweet every now and then from Rockstar. They're like, hey, here are the four yachts you can own.
Yeah.
I'm like, that
like,
rules.
Here's a flying motorcycle. You're like, what?
Yeah. Added naval combat and Tron missions. Yeah. Like, why?
Max and I did a Let's Play of GTA 5 at Rockstar Games in New York City with, like, a group of guys who and girls who started a motorcycle gang.
Yeah, this is dude, Dirty Worka, who's like, he's just this
awesome.
He's this dude dude with his like thick Jersey accent who's just like
Boston.
Boston. Was it Boston? Yes. I'm sorry.
Northern Jersey.
You got to get that right, otherwise we end up in a fight with.
Yeah, I know. Well, he runs a biker gang, and he's like, it's so cool to have these people who are they're straight up like role playing in GTA, and it's fascinating because that's set mostly in real life.
Yeah.
You know, but it's kind of like, oh, I want to grind away and get like money, and I want to buy like a new shirt. You're like. You know, you can do that in real life too. It's called a job.
I love that.
Just get
though.
Like a start driving Uber or whatever. But
yeah, and some of them ride bikes in real life, but they're all into it in the game, and they have rules, and they're just like, and you know, then Max and I show up, and we're like shooting the cars and the bike. We're stupid, right? But like, I think there's something really cool here. There isn't a dedicated story mode, and this sounds like a cop out, but there are stories happening in this game every single day. You just have to know where to look.
Yeah. What was going on with those shirts that they bought?
I don't know. You got to buy shirts in that game.
Interesting.
They're expensive.
Yeah, close. Otherwise, you're a naked
variations
dude.
Of Max's.
Yeah, I mean, if you have honestly, I think if you get a PlayStation 4 and you can only have one game, I'd be like, yeah, get GTA because it just keeps giving.
Would you say that over The Witcher?
I mean, if you're like you only get one game this generation, period.
Yeah,
I'd be like, yeah, because it's a Los Angeles MMO.
Your one game this generation is last generation's best game.
Sure.
Yeah. No, seriously, there's a billion hours of stuff in there.
I mean, I was on the train the other day. I looked over and this dude has his phone out and he's just playing San Andreas. And I'm like, that's like a pretty huge testament to the last
game. Yeah, this 50-year-old game.
I mean, GTA 5 is over 70 million copies sold.
It's insane.
And GTA Online, I remember a while back they talked about how big it continues to get like month after month. And they were like, if Red Dead has something like this, like how are you going to have them competing? And they're like, we would probably have to at this rate manually decide to close down GTA Online. Like, we don't have to worry about it shutting down because it will still be popular.
Yeah,
right.
And I mean, there's undoubtedly microtransactions that are doing just fine for them. But
I have
also
a feeling like 20 years from now, people will be running their own servers for it
and
stuff like that.
Oh, totally, So it's kind of cool to see. But also, like, I mean, with the alien mission stuff, I can't help but wonder, was this something they were toying with and they were like, eh, forget it, scrap it? Or were they like, this is a good Easter egg, aliens? Why not?
Yeah, I wish there was more. I just wish there was more sort of like openness when it came to development and stuff like that. I feel like it's a kind of story we'll hear about 10 years from now. Rockstar is notoriously secret with everything they do. Yeah. But
I would love an oral history of
totally
what this game was.
Yeah.
Marty.
Yeah.
You beat Persona 5.
I did it. I finally did it. I feel very good. Yeah.
90 hours.
95. That's the most time I put in a game in since maybe PS2.
You gave up real dates to play fake dates?
You have real dates to play. Virtual well, dates. I don't think they were fake dates.
They were real. Sorry.
The time I spent with On, I think, was very important. Okay. This is a game that I think this is the best turn-based JRPG since the Super Nintendo.
Wow.
And I think that if either you love turn-based RPGs or you've never played a turn-based RPG, I think this is an incredible game. Like, I would recommend this to almost anyone because I think it is the most stylish game of this generation.
So what I want to get to the bottom of is that you played this game for a little while and then you stopped for a long
time. Cold
turkey,
yeah.
And so what was it that sort of dragged you right back in?
I think it was finishing E3. It stopped just because I was I was working weekends.
So you weren't burned out.
Planning the show.
Right?
No. No, I think the reason I stopped was because I was 2 hours into a palace and I hadn't saved. And my PS4 froze.
Right.
And so I lost 2 hours of progress. And it was sort of, to me, the low point of the game, which is what, like,
was it the first palace?
No, it was it was a spaceship.
Okay.
Because that's one of the tougher things about video games. And this happens to me, and I'm very guilty of this because I play a lot of games, is I'll get like 10 or 15 hours into something and then get distracted by something shiny.
Yeah.
And then I won't ever come back. Or when I do, I'm like, what? I have a key. I don't know who I'm
supposed
to bring this to.
It took me so long to remember, like, just the natural flow of the battle system.
Mm.
Yeah. But hopping back in, this is, I think this is my favorite game of the year.
That's awesome.
As I love Zelda, and as much as I'm excited for a ton of stuff at the end of the year, like, I haven't felt this strongly about a game since I finished The Witness.
I think this is also
a year and a half ago.
This is the kind of game that is so massive and so in-depth that there's not going to be any stigma about going into it late.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of huge games out there right now, but I feel like if anybody who jumps in The Witcher 3 right now, no one's going to be like, what are you doing? Are you late to the party on that one? It's going to be like, oh, are you liking it? You know, like,
same with GTA 5. Yeah, exactly. Someone was to play, like, The Last of Us. Like, this is great. Yeah.
But yeah, Persona, like, I kind of noped out of there. Like, I didn't, not nope out. I kind of hit a wall and then got distracted by something.
Sure.
But, like, that's the kind of weird, bittersweet, like, nature of our jobs is we're supposed to kind of stay up to date with games. But at the same time, there are games like that that are massive time sinks. And,
It's just also insane that, like, I put 95 hours in and there's so much of the game that I didn't know existed. Andrew's like, oh, how deep did you go in the fishing? And I'm like, there's fishing? He's like, yeah, didn't you take so-and-so to the pond? And I'm like, no, I never went on a date with that character. So I never got to the pond, so I never got to fish. Yeah.
Yeah, that's really odd.
That's going to be I'm going to tell my grandchildren on my deathbed that I wish I could have taken that girl to the pond and learned to fish.
Well, yeah. See, the difference is that you'll have grandchildren.
Well, you'll be pretty far gone.
And Goldfarb will not. He'll have fishing memories.
Oh, no.
Oh, come on. We're friends. Sound off in the comments below. I love you, Goldie. I know we touched hands recently on this show, this very show.
And, that's not how grandchildren happen.
All of your children are grand. I think they're lovely, lovely kids.
That's how grandchildren stop visiting.
But now you're playing a near auto. Do we decide on
automata?
Automata?
Yeah.
Yeah. Automata.
Yeah.
Anything you want.
Automata.
Near has a rough first 45 minutes, but once it opens up, the combat is incredible. It's you know, it's platinum, and so it's incredible combat, super charming characters, awesome side quests, and then once you get into the meat and potatoes of the story and how it relates to New Game Plus and stuff like that, like it is one of the most interesting things I've played in a very long time. Huh. So
it's a hard one to describe, right?
Yeah, because like it goes from top down shooter like R type to button mashy, you know, crazy combo based like Bayonetta to open world fetch questy stuff to crazy boss fights. It's really, I don't know, just a whole mess of stuff.
I really appreciate that you are able to sort of find time for games that there's this like sort of impetus in this industry to move on from
sure,
things,
yeah.
Inhale the next thing. And, you know, like Max does the opposite thing where he'll be like, I watched the Mummy 2 over the weekend. What time is like finite?
No.
But like Martin, the fact that you went back to two games that were earlier this year that were really well received. And then I think we'll come up with Game of the Year conversations at the beginning.
Totally.
I think it's important because I don't want Game of the Year to be like, Zelda, got it,
exactly.
Bye.
Yeah.
Like, that's boring, you know?
Yeah, and it's only, like I mentioned before, it's only because we are in a bit of a lull. Like, once September rolls around, like, I'm not going to be able to do that the rest of the year because I'm going to have to play Evil Within, I'm going to have to play Destiny, I'm going to have to play Wolfenstein and Mario, and, I mean, that's, I like how I'm saying, I'm going to have to play all of these.
It's a good problem to have.
Awesome. Yeah. Problem. Yeah.
I'm really happy that Red Dead got pushed for that very reason.
Yeah,
that's a game I want. Everything else kind of gets clear out of the way, and I'm like, all right, let's do this. You know.
Yeah.
So getting into Nier, like, did it grab you, or were you playing this like, I have to play this because I'm curious about it?
Was mostly like Mitch, who used to work here, like recommended to me. He was like, this does some of the most interesting story stuff I've ever seen in a game. Like, get through it, get to the New Game Plus stuff, and then we'll talk. I just trust him with the stories.
The story. Weeaboo gibberish, or is it like
a little bit, not too much. Like it's sort of like, hey, you're in the future and there's aliens created robots, but then the humans created androids and you're an android fighting off the robots. And I'm like, okay, I get this.
I hear a lot this idea that like this notion of like, get through the first hour,
sure,
get through the first 5 hours. Like, what's how do you sort of like compel people to do that? Because I know, you know, again, time is finite.
Sure.
Like for a game like that, you're saying it's like 45 minutes, not that great, and then you get through it. Because I've heard with Persona a bunch of times,
sure,
I really want to start that game. And people who are, all I keep hearing from people is either, oh, you're going to love that game because it's like this awesome love letter to Japan.
Yeah.
And I also hear from people like, you're going to hate it. It's like anime garbage.
Yeah. It's mostly, it's getting to like not enough games step you know, their first foot forward as the game's mission statement.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So the whole thing is Nier has this opening 45 minutes. That's not really what the game is. And then once you get past that, you get into sort of the open world and you're like, oh, this is what Nier is. Same thing with Persona. While it's teaching you everything, you don't have the freedom of how am I going to spend my day and my night.
Right.
Whereas I feel like a game like Breath of the Wild, right from the get-go, is like, this is what the game's about.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And like you're running around the Great Plateau and you're like, this is the game. And then when you get off the Great Plateau, it's like, all right, go.
Like, yeah, like 90 hours into that game, you're still like, my thing broke. I need a new thing.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
And that's, I should walk over there and explore.
Yeah,
yeah. I'm still playing Yakuza 0, and that's like, I love that game. I'm still like unearthing new mechanics and new elements, and they're like you get, I don't know, 20 hours into that, and they're like, here's the other man in the icon for the game. And I'm like, are you kidding me? There's another dude you play as? And then they're like, 40 hours later, you're like, you are now a realtor.
Yep.
Sell some houses. And I'm like, what am I doing?
That's the best.
Yeah. I found myself like also, I think it's a testament to this good localization, but like Persona 5, like I kind of took a leap of faith with that. And I knew that everyone's like, this is the coolest thing. This is the best. Persona rules. I kind of skipped over the 4. And then I jumped in there. And the second I was like, oh, this is incredibly charming, well-written, and well-translated and localized. And, like, I don't know, it's like maybe it's if you're eating a food you don't particularly like, but you have it really well-prepared, you're like, I get the – I understand
sure.
the hype.
Yeah,
I get it.
Right.
That's a good way to put that.
So, That's cool. Yeah. Let's see. We got some new PlayStation Plus Ooh. This week. Not a lot, but
one of them's very cool.
There's yeah. That's You, which yeah. is a place. It's free with Plus, and it's like a Jackbox Party Pack. But
yeah,
you played this a bit, or
yeah, I got to play this.
I played it. Also. I wasn't yeah. with them. I played okay. separately in the office.
Yeah,
with people.
It's and so it's free for PlayStation Plus. So just download it right now. It is a party social game where everyone's you use your phone as a controller.
Okay,
and so the whole thing is it asks a question, and you pretty much have to write down an answer or write down who would be the most. The person you're playing with most likely to whatever this question is.
Yeah.
And the game is so dependent, but so good if you get a group of really tight friends who are totally fine with making fun of each other.
Yeah. Like, I was playing with five very close friends in the office, so it was all us mocking each other.
Yeah.
And, but, like, in a good-natured way. And so one of the questions was, who would be the most likely to have just, like, a panic attack at the stroke of midnight on New Year's Eve? Like, who would have an anxiety attack?
Goldfarb.
And, well, no. The group was a bunch of us and me, myself included, put me. And everyone
so,
did.
It yeah, was so everyone gets points.
But it was like, obviously, yeah. Of
yeah.
course.
That's awesome.
Like, basically, and palette swap Goldfarb. So,
yeah.
How does it scale to like two players, three players, four players, five? Like,
it playing. The more people you have, the more fun it's going to be yeah. just because the more variables you're going
to
have.
I
which
think
is
four
sort of,
to six is like
yeah,
the sweet spot.
Is the sweet it, spot. Yeah. And it has really interesting questions. It does smart things with drawing and with the use of the camera.
Yeah.
That's one thing I really like about it. Jackbox Party Pack doesn't do any camera stuff. Sure. It's just yeah. like typing and drawing. What is the camera stuff with this?
So the camera is like you take a picture of your avatar, which is just your face. But there's also things like so-and-so. The whole round is going to be based upon this person taking a pose.
Yeah.
So you take a picture of someone taking a pose, and then it's you drawing. Yeah. So it's like they're a wizard, so you take a picture of someone, and then everyone does their job of drawing on the picture of like what the wizard would look like.
Yeah,
what
ours
could possibly
was,
go wrong?
Yeah.
Ours was someone having food poisoning, so you can
oh, good.
That
puke everywhere.
Yeah. But then otherwise it would be like, hey, everyone take a picture that looks like this person's picture, and one of our friends, she was just acting like a grandmother who doesn't know how the phone works, so it's like close to her nose,
yeah.
it's just awful. Like you can still mess around with it,
yeah.
it and in
awesome.
The end it's everyone has to choose what they think is the best answer.
Right.
So you're also judging your friends.
And
on
it's free, so
yeah. it's free.
Go get
yeah.
it.
Yeah, this is the yeah. first of sort of the handful of PlayLink games, which yeah. were announced.
That's also, yeah.
Yeah, and this is great. And it's also a lot of the jokes were written by a friend of the show and of IGN, Mike Drucker.
Yeah.
Who's a super funny man.
I think his new special is on CISO, if you subscribe that. You can very, very audibly hear Greg Miller and I in the front row just laughing hysterically.
We've, oh, was that the one we went to?
Yeah.
Oh.
Were you there too?
Yeah,
oh, that's
yeah.
right.
Yeah.
So yeah, the okay. three of us have three of the most like iconic laughs.
Yeah.
You, me, and Greg. So yeah, it's, listen to that.
It's Fozzie Bear.
Yeah.
Yeah, I also wanted to give a quick Greg. Shout out to a game launching on PS4 this week called Mr. Shifty. It's been out for a minute on Switch.
Mm-hmm.
It's been described as sort of Nightcrawler meets Hotline Miami. It's kind of reductive.
The superhero, not Nightcrawler, the Jake
Gyllenhaal. Not the movie where he like goes to car crashes or whatever. I really dig this game. It's top down, the action heavy game where this guy in a blue trench coat and a red hat busts into this tower to take out floor after floor of just like goofy, stupid henchmen who all have like crazy sci-fi weapons yeah. and stuff like that. And you can sort of like leap, jump through space and time to break through walls and through areas and kill people.
Mm-hmm.
And when you get the flow of combat going, it's just like just really, really, really cathartic.
Yeah.
Like you can just sort of bust through a room, do like seven or eight leaps, kill nine people in a row, and then the elevator dings and you get in the next
yeah,
thing. Like you feel yeah. awesome.
So yeah, like that game, I had my eye on it, but I never actually jumped on it on Switch. I feel
yeah.
like playing it. If I dig it on PlayStation, I'll probably just buy it for Switch. And then
no, yeah,
I
for sure.
play it on my toilet.
Yep.
Why did you say toilet like that?
I don't know, because it was
my
fun,
toilet.
Fun, yeah. exciting
remote
time to
play
say.
It on your Vita. Though.
Yeah, and also Life is Strange is on... PlayStation Plus this month, in case you missed
that.
That
right?
Yeah.
It was.
Oh, that was
yeah,
last
it
month?
Was the last month. Now
whoa, when we would have reported
it. What year is it?
Yes. When it, but
what's
it,
the, what was the big one? This?
Until Dawn.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I'm sorry.
Get
I get those confused.
Which is definitely awesome.
They're
very,
very similar.
Similar. Yeah. Kind of.
Choice based.
A little bit, yeah.
So,
teens that might die.
We have a special segment on this show we like to do. It's called What VR Playing. It is about the number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 virtual reality segment. A handful of VR things popped up for PlayStation VR. Arizona Sunshine is one of the first kind of like sort of big games to come out in a minute.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not great. Ryan, you and I both played this a bit. It is a zombie fighting VR game that's refreshingly in beautiful Arizona Sunshine, as the title would suggest.
Yeah.
It is.
So this was an Oculus Touch game, focused a lot on the sort of like dual hand combat of having two guns. Ported over to PS4. Obviously, you don't have those same control options. So you don't sort of the idiosyncrasies of that are lost when you have move controllers. But I got to try this with the Farpoint VR or the VR aim gun, and that works fundamentally. They designed the game around sort of dual-handed weaponry, right? Like shotguns and, you know, assault rifles and stuff like that. But I feel like the game itself is sort of missing the polish that I found in Farpoint. I think, like, mechanically, the aiming feels good, but actually traversing the environments doesn't feel as good as Farpoint does. You have multiple options of control comfort, which you have to do from the main menu. You can't do in-game, which I found a little cumbersome.
Really?
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of, like, if you get into, like, the twerking of it all, and you're like, oh, this isn't working for me. I want to change that right now, and you can't. You have to back out and go back in. I feel like it's just sort of missing. It's missing the level of polish I was hoping for something of its nature. Like, the sound design feels a little flat. The animation is just sort of lackluster. The VO is cool, but it doesn't really mesh well with everything else.
Yeah.
And I found the level design to be kind of cumbersome. Like, actually navigating around cars and areas, it's just sort of, if there's a lot of like invisible walls, it feels like a cool idea for the zombie franchise in terms of like making a first person shooter that's almost predominantly outdoors in like a beautiful, brightly colored cowboy town desert.
Yeah. It also makes it, I think, more accessible as a VR game, because if it was like, here's gritty, actual dark zombie stuff, it'd be kind of uncomfortable and just,
yeah.
I feel like dark stuff doesn't work so great in VR.
Scary?
I didn't know.
Not really.
Yeah. I didn't find it scary at all.
Yeah.
Honestly,
it's more like have fun shooting stuff with guns.
Sure.
What's really weird though is it's, I think, meant to be played because it was made for Oculus Touch. It's you need the two move controllers.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, it is one of the few games that does support the VR aim controller, and so that's the first thing I tried it out with.
Yeah.
There are parts where you have to like open doors or turn winches, and it doesn't really tell you. It doesn't really, I don't think, adjust the way the controls work for the VR aim to make it function. Like,
yeah,
it's actually broken because you're like, you're supposed to use like one hand to like turn a crank.
Yeah.
But if that controller is the one that's like the front of the gun, then you have to do this weird thing where you're like doing that, and even then it doesn't really work.
Yeah.
Kind of like disappointing in that sense. Also, like, there are things that are oddly obtuse, like I guess going to the menu. There's also a horde mode, which I didn't screw around with. I really want to like it, but even down to just like the, I don't know, like the shooting doesn't feel like super punchy. Like, it's
kinda, that's, I think I was looking for more of like an oomph when just like nailing a zombie in the head and watching his head explode. I don't know if I wanted more gore or a better sound effect or just something that felt like it was bringing it all together better. I'm with you in that, like, the very simple actions like opening doors, like the kind of things like we talk about. PSVR is really cool in that it gives you, like, I can pick up this piece of paper and it's interesting. Like in Batman, you flip over a clipboard and you're like, that feels cool.
Yeah.
It has the opposite approach when it's more difficult to do something that has a basic function with regular controls. And there's, so, like, pointing at a car door with, like, a dual-handed gun to open it just felt a little off. And
that's, like,
know,
a weird thing where you try to, like, if you try to walk through the door, it doesn't let you do that until you like, you can shut the door through yourself, but you can't walk through it. So you do this awkward, like, trying to shut the door and then move around it, and just certain things. And I don't know, it gets sort of confusing, especially with the aim controller. Playing it otherwise, it's not like, it's not super terrible. It is kind of a letdown though. I feel like maybe it could have actually benefited from being on rails a bit.
I totally agree. Yeah.
The moving is just, also zombies will come at you. I don't think there's any melee option.
Well, I actually enjoyed the Rush of Blood Until Dawn game for that very reason. And a lot of people dinged it because it was on rails. And I'm like, this is not trying to replicate the Until Dawn console experience you know already. But it is doing something that's sort of fun. Like, you put on your funny future hat. And you go on a ride in your
roller coaster,
room,
and you're,
you know,
killing things. Yeah.
And this was more like, I found myself fighting against the environment and the controls more than actually enjoying it, which is kind of a bummer. But
I would sort of love a game that is this level of like kind of simplicity. It's like, oh, it's zombies, you're in the desert, whatever. There are all these objects you can pick up, and they don't really do anything.
Yeah,
I was kind of hoping like you find like a thing of like carb cleaner, and I was like, can I shoot this and it'll explode? And I don't think that's the case. Like, maybe you can. I just wasn't hitting it.
Yeah,
there's a basketball you can throw, and I was like, can I distract the zombie? zombies and they don't really care.
Yeah.
So let me just get like some basketballs to distract the zombies. I think that's a fun time. Yeah. Some basketball bombs.
One day they'll make
a very different video game.
A game where you can distract the zombies with this basketball.
Yeah. Sounds like a good game. Another thing that came out is the free PSVR Spider-Man Homecoming experience. Whatever it is.
Like 10 minutes.
It's so stupid. It's so I think they were planning something much more ambitious and they had to like call it a day. I compared it to a Rob Liefeld drawing and that they spent like it starts out you're on this rooftop and you basically have your web shooters and you put on your mask and Jennifer Connelly's in your ear being like, oh, time to shoot your webs or whatever. If you've seen Spider-Man Homecoming, that makes a lot more sense. But basically, if you just have to shoot a bunch of like balloons everywhere and it's like kind of this fun little shooting gallery thing. And then they're like, oh no, there's been a weird thing over there. You better go check it out. And they're like, better head up to that crane there. And I'm like, oh, it's going to be some fun, excited, and swinging, and it's going to get me the butterflies in my tummy. Mm. And then it just kind of like warps you up there, and you're like, oh,
yeah,
fine.
It's free, so I don't want to complain too much.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, it just felt so much like a half-baked version of Arkham.
It does have weird. I
finally jumped on Arkham 2, and there's some hilarious similarities there.
Yeah.
Like the fact that they're like, put on your mask.
The way you and put it on. Yeah. I mean, I did find it was fun when you could shoot out the web and hold on to an object and throw it.
That's really
awesome. I think that worked super well.
I agree.
Well.
I wish this were
better because that worked so well.
Yeah.
I hated that they missed the opportunity to actually be swinging on the crane or anything.
So,
though I did get vertigo when I looked down. And
right. So
there's
I've talked about this before. There's a game on the store called Windlands that is sort of like rope launching platforming game. I know. And it lets you like sort of traverse incredibly high environments to find collectibles and then jump down. And that gave me like serious like pit in my gut.
Yeah.
Like, just like not in my stomach. Like I think they designed this Spider-Man Homecoming VR experience thing around the fact that the average person would get supremely nauseous trying anything that's even remote. It's the idea of it.
Like, I really want it.
Yeah, you know you want it. And the second you're actually doing it, you're like, oh, God.
I mean, that's the whole thing.
Like, Spider-Man Insomniac. Like,
But that's not like first person.
Yes,
and you're, no one wants to swing like Spider-Man. That sounds scary.
It's honestly like a pretty huge disappointing that they built as much of this as they did and then just left it there. Like the Vulture shows up and spoilers, you don't actually fight him. Like he yells at you and then it hurts your crane and then you have to fix the crane and then it's like the end. And like
that's what the film's about, Michael Keaton hurting your crane.
Yeah.
It does feel weird. It's like when they build a really cool set for a show that only airs once or something, or it's like a play. Like whoever made this game built all of these assets. They basically built like the start of a video game and then it just stops.
Yeah.
Like it's very odd.
It's not bad either. It's free. It's
but that is free. Yeah. Like these, I'm totally down with big summer blockbusters all have it. Because there was the
Dunkirk.
There's a Dunkirk.
There's one for the Martian.
There was one for the Martian one cost money though, right?
Yeah, and it wasn't good.
Yeah, so it's like just if these are going to be ostensibly,
you can plant potatoes at home for free.
You can. That's true.
I go out and poop in my yard all the time.
You can abandon your friends for no money at all.
Yep.
Yeah.
No, I'm with you. We've been saying for a long time we want smaller experiences on the store. I think the difference between something like this and Batman is that Batman has a sort of narrative conclusion to it.
Yeah.
I don't know if you finished it yet, but I won't spoil anything. Yeah. It tells a story, and that story ends.
I also think it nails the you becoming Batman better than the like the Spider-Man one. Controllers weren't actually getting it correctly, and then suddenly I was just Spider-Man. Whereas, like, they make you put on the cowl and each glove, and you take the belt, and like, there's so many parts of it as Batman. And I remember playing it at E3, and I'm like, I'm Batman. Like,
Totally.
Everyone has a stupid grin on their face.
Yeah. This feels like a demo you would have gotten with like PlayStation Magazine back in the day, and you would have been like, oh, well, I understand why they cut that off because there's a 20-hour version of that game coming out this fall. And it's like, no,
be like if Tony Hawk was just the warehouse level. And you're like, well,
I mean, also key difference with Arkham aside from it being a full price game is that they had those assets already.
Yeah.
Like they had, I mean, and same deal with Battlefront. They have the guts of it. And it kind of makes me want like, oh, like can Insomniac do something like this to go along with Spider-Man?
Totally.
Just to be like, hey, like let's screw around with that. You know, maybe it's just a little
around whatever Peter's apartment is.
Yeah. It'd be cool.
You get out of there.
Weirdo.
He's not a child in this. And Insomniac is a man. You can wander around.
I want to go talk to Aunt May if you know what I'm talking about.
No, she's probably
so does everyone
in
that movie.
I want to go talk to Aunt May if you know what I'm talking about.
All right.
I know what you're talking about. You want to have sex with Bruce.
All right. So
gotta make grandkids for Goldie.
On the subject of PSVR, we did rapid fire. We hopped over to our Facebook group, which is facebook.com/group/podcastbeyond.
Groups.com.
Don't say that. Don't do that. Dusty Ricketts.
Yeah.
All right. Asks, what do you think the chances of Star Wars Battlefront 2 getting PSVR support, and what would you like that to be?
High and pod racing.
Not high as in like what? High. I think there's a high chance.
Get high in a pod racer?
I think there's a good chance that it's going to have PSVR support, and I would like pod racing.
You want? We can shut the lights off in here, and this can be one of those like crime reveal shows where you admit things.
Pot racing.
Pot racing.
There we go.
Yeah, pot racing. There you go. Yeah, I think pod racing would be cool.
Episode blunt.
All right. Yeah. All right.
All right. Any other Star Wars thing?
Yeah, no, that's it. That's all.
No, I think
honestly,
so,
yeah, like the whole segment they had for first Battlefront was very like, I mean, you were flying the thing. You were in the X-Wing. It was cool. You're controlling it. I don't think they need that. I feel like this the speeder bike stuff.
I was going to say, I just want speeder bikes. Speeder bikes and pod racers. That's it.
Just take some iconic vehicles and like throw me in there. Like me,
or maybe,
you know.
Like whatever hell's going on with those in episode 8 in the trailer with those like the paint planet where like all the paint's flying up behind you or whatever it is. Or like the weird colored
crate.
Yeah,
is that
paint planet?
Yeah, it looked like it was paint.
Crate.
Like
it's paint. Like dust.
It looked like one of those like where people go on the you do the marathon, but they throw the chalk at you.
Yeah, just like that.
The color run planet. Okay.
Yeah, just like
Splatoon
that.
Splatoon planet.
No, that being said, we haven't heard anything about that. I'm hoping like they're able to justify creating something like that because they didn't sell the last one.
Sure.
So it would be specifically based on download numbers it did, and I'm sure you know Criterion and EA could actually look at how many people interacted with it, how many people downloaded it, how many people finished it. It was only a few minutes, so if you didn't finish it, like, what happened? But maybe you got sick.
Yeah, how'd you get distracted? You literally had blinders on.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you just check your phone.
Well, going back to what we're saying about Spider-Man Homecoming, maybe they make a VR thing using assets from within Battlefront 2, and it's rolled into the cost of Episode 8's marketing budget or something.
Yeah.
And it's a free download for people with VR, but it's also like, you know, it looks like Battlefront, but it doesn't require you to own the game. I don't know how that works.
Or
but,
Luke's weird rock island that he lives on now.
This next question's a weird one. I think hopefully we'll have some answers for it.
Jonathan Valdez asked, a couple months ago, I said I was playing Symphony of the Night, but didn't like the feeling of going back through, Symphony of the Night, but didn't like the feeling of going back and forth through areas, but loved the gameplay. I asked for suggestions for things similar, and you guys gave me a bunch of suggestions that fit the that fit the things I didn't like about the game. So what are some games that play like Symphony of the Night without the feeling of being lost?
So let me break
the
this one down.
Castlevania show?
That's true.
It's fairly linear. Yeah.
Effectively, he's looking for a action platformer Castlevania, Metroidvania game that has little emphasis on backtracking and sort of...
It's not a Metroidvania.
Like a core tenet of Metroidvania. So I'm trying to think. You're thinking...
What I was thinking was like Super Castlevania 4. Or the original Castlevanias. I think he's specifically looking for like action platforming games. It's a weird question. I got kind of lost in this one. Because to me, the backtracking is one of my favorite parts of those games, but he didn't like it. So.
And like the best ones like Guacamelee and you know, Super Metroid, Ori, that all has backtracking.
What about Bionic Commando Rearmed? Is that a backtracking or is that like... That's kind of an action platform. It's, I think you've got like a whip-shaped thing.
Yeah, I think that's more level.
I think that's more linear. Okay. Yeah.
Well, I was thinking Shadow Complex, but that also...
Yeah, that's...
Yeah.
On the floor.
Yeah.
I mean, it just...
I would say Shovel Knight is a good one. Shovel Knight doesn't have a ton of backtracking, really. If not much at all. And there's between all the campaigns there's like three different campaigns that you can jump into.
And they have one more coming.
Yeah, and one more coming.
That's insane that game still has stuff coming.
It's so crazy. Yeah. They signed some like amazing deal with the devil.
Yeah.
To
it was the Kickstarter
have to
campaign.
Keep it. Yeah. That's it. They promise and they're delivering. Yeah.
So
intriguing awesome.
To see what they do next.
Yeah. Yacht Club's awesome.
Yeah.
Let's see. What else? This is a tough one. Like I would say the Contra games, like classic games like Castle Crashers are really fun.
Yeah.
In terms of like action games that are a lot more linear.
I'm trying to think. They're like...
Yeah, I'm playing a game right now called Mighty Gunvolt Burst that I really like.
Okay.
Like the Mega Man ones are like that.
Yeah.
And even that has mild Metroidvania elements where like you collect something, you go back, play the level again, you're like, I can get that one up now.
Yeah.
You know, I jump on that dog's head.
There was a game came out a couple of years ago and it was called Dust and Elysian Tale.
Oh, yeah.
It was the one that
was
like all hand-drawn. I'm pretty sure like one dude did the whole thing. It has like a leans aesthetically a little bit towards furries, which I wasn't crazy about.
A lot of bit
but
towards
the
furries.
Combat and the exploration, I think, are wonderful.
It's on it's on iOS and I believe Android if you want to look at that.
Oh, interesting.
What about those Assassin's Creed Chronicles?
Yeah.
Like they're not super great, but they're also like they're not Metroidvania either. They're kind of like 2D puzzles.
It's funny though, all of the best games we've named are the Metroidvania ones.
Yeah. Like, I mean
Symphony of the Night and Guacamelee and Super Metroid.
They all come back to that sort of core tenet of you collect an item that lets you go back and explore an area that you haven't been to yet. And I don't know. Yeah. I love that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If not, you basically just want to look up a list of the best action platforming games and go from there. If you want something a little more run and gun or you want something that's a little more beat 'em up.
Double Dragon Neon.
Don't talk to Mitch about that one.
I don't.
Which one? Oh yeah, he gave it a 3.5 or whatever.
Yeah, I didn't like that game. I didn't like Double Dragon 4 either.
It's like a kind of goofy beat 'em up type thing.
Beautiful Joe.
That's my jam.
Yeah. Oh my god! Yes, yeah,
also, you can play that.
Get a GameCube and play Duke Nukem.
Some PS2 also.
Oh yeah,
Duke Nukem Manhattan Project. Like I'm trying to think of stuff. I don't know what's available on like Vita or you know PS4.
Yeah.
So. Alex Ball asks, with Spider-Man Homecoming being a success lately, I thought I would pose a question about the Spider-Man video game. With it being said that Spider-Man will be, quote, several times larger than Sunset Overdrive, what do you think a good size for an open-world Spider-Man game should be? Should it be Witcher 3 or Horizon Zero Dawn size, and Naughty Dog explore everything in a kind of funnel linear path, or something different? Personally, I would love a do-what-you-want-from-the-start after a little tutorial area like idea like Horizon. Beyond. Yeah.
I thought this was a really interesting question. If they went block for block based on Manhattan... if you've seen the movie, there's a lot of time spent in Queens and other outer boroughs there where they go into the suburbs and stuff like that. I won't spoil anything. But like a block-for-block recreation of Manhattan would be a huge, huge place to run around. But the difference between Spider-Man and pretty much any other open-world game is that when you get to the ground, you can't actually do all the things you would want to do because you can't just walk into like a store and be like, hey, it's me, Spider-Man. I want to buy some new clothes. Oh, man. Do you guys sell Spider-Man clothes? No? Yeah. Like you'd have to land and go in like a phone booth or whatever he does to hide or, you know, glue his backpack to the wall and then become a teenager again.
Yeah.
So you're missing – you miss that connection.
Yeah.
You know? So it's like when you look at like a GTA game where you can go anywhere in the city, you go into different shops and stuff like that. The infamous games, which like kind of close off a lot of the city in terms of doors you can go into. This is a weird one because like you would want a really big city and you want a lot of places to go into, but Spider-Man is by nature a character who disguises himself from the public.
Yeah. I kind of like the idea of him starting in like or starting. I mean, I know we're also talking about a 30-year-old Spider-Man who's going to be living in Manhattan properly, but it'd be really cool to have kind of Queens as like a tutorial. Like starter area, and then you branch out. Like maybe you, I don't know, buy a bus pass or get some like new skill that lets you slingshot across the bridge or something. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But like, I don't know.
Skill, a bus
in terms
pass.
Of in terms of the scale of the game, I think Horizon was too big. Like I think it was that game was just like
it's a really big game.
Yeah,
I would in terms of how the game is designed, I would love if it sort of takes a cue. Again, we on every show we bring up Zelda. I'm sorry, but just. In the way Zelda is, you can go wherever you want, and you can handle the divine beasts in whatever order you want. It'd be cool if each neighborhood had its own different, like, distinct storyline and ultimate bad guy at the end of it. And you can do them whenever you want. You can get halfway through the Mysterio one and move on to the Rhino one.
That's a great idea.
Yeah, just avoid the West Village.
But yeah, I think when we saw it at E3, like the extended behind closed doors, which was the same demo, just played slightly different. They talked about how it is Manhattan. You are like on Manhattan Island. It's not going to be out in Queens and Brooklyn. But and it won't be a one for one street by street recreation
because that would be a bad video game.
But they will. They were like
it's a grid.
Yeah,
boring.
Yeah. They will be hitting obviously all the major landmarks, and I think they will be trying to structure it in the general direction of New York. And I think you can make that. I mean, Spider-Man 2 proved you can do a recreation enough of Manhattan.
That was 15 years ago.
Yeah, so there is like a basis for a good Manhattan.
You think there'll be a Statue of Liberty?
I was going to ask. You think there'll be like the Avengers Tower?
Oh, totally.
I mean, cool. We don't know because, like, how?
Oh, yeah. I mean,
how does that fold into
can't be the movie
it's,
one?
Yeah, it's not. Yeah, I don't think it's gonna be Stark Tower proper. I think it might, we might see like the Avengers Mansion or something.
Because the old Spider-Man games didn't have that because that wasn't really a thing that they wrote.
No,
in.
No, it was the Avengers were
but. Right.
Yeah,
right.
It depends how much they want to dip into both the rest of Spider-Man lore and the rest of just the Marvel.
That's universe. A really good. That's a really good question.
I hope there's just a place called Rhino Tower and it's where Rhino lives.
Yeah, that's kind of on the nose or the horn.
All right.
I feel like there won't be only because there's the Avengers project going with Square.
Yeah,
and that would be. A separate, you probably wouldn't want to confuse people necessarily, but I also think people are smart enough that if there's an Avengers nod, they know it doesn't mean that game.
Sure. I bring this game up every now and then, but I really like the Godfather video game. Did you?
Yeah,
it was really cool. They had basically crime gangs that took over different areas in the city. You could go like families would basically have dynasties in different regions of the city, and you can't do this in Spider-Man, maybe in reverse, but you could go in and extort local businessmen by like basically, every store in the game you could walk into. So it'd be like a barbershop. And you just come in, you throw a guy against the wall, you start punching him in the face, and you're like, I want $200 a week or I'll kill your family. And they'd be like, oh, God, all right, thanks. And then so you do that to like five buildings on one block, and they'd be like, hey, dude, you run this block now. And you do that to like 10 blocks in a row, they'd be like, you have this whole neighborhood, and that crime family's really pissed off at you.
Yeah.
And so like imagine doing that in reverse, like – you know, somebody like Shocker is like, I have this whole, I have like the outer, you know, like Upper East Side or something like that.
Yeah.
And you go up there, it's a weird neighborhood for him.
Yeah.
But you go up there and you like take over everything. Yeah. And it's like, oh, I've won this back now. It's peaceful. Like, yeah. You might get some crimes pop up here and there.
Scorpion just loves Lincoln Square and he's there all the time. Yeah. But no, I could see it easily. I mean, not to, there have been a lot of comparisons to Arkham, obviously, but I think in sort of the Arkham city and asylum sense of like, this villain is this region. And for the lower level street criminals, that's a good way to integrate them.
Yes, totally. It's pretty cool. Yeah, if you're dying for an open world game set in New York with Marvel superheroes, Lego Marvel Superheroes is super good.
Yeah.
And it's like,
super fun one.
It's also wonderful because it's all Lego. So it's kind of like, it's all cute and it's all kind of scaled down, but there's still like New York landmarks. And then there's, you know, the Stark Tower. And then there's like, you go like 10 minutes outside of like New York and there's just the X-Men mansion,
like
the Juggernaut's like running around outside. And like, what are you doing, dude? Get out of here. Get off that lawn. Yeah. That's the show. That's it. We did it all. You can find us all on Twitter. I'm Max Scoville. Brian is Agent Bizzle. The hell are you?
J.M. Dornbush.
J.M. Dornbush.
Yeah.
Sounds like a law firm or something.
It's close.
Or like a men's clothing, like Joss.
That's what I come from.
Yeah.
Lawyers and men's clothing.
Men's clothing. Stores. I can tell you're wearing men's clothing right
you're
now.
You're going to like the way you sue people in our clothes.
And Marty is, of course, better. Mick Biggity with 2 G's and 2 T's. Head on over to our Facebook group. It's facebook.com/group/podcastbeyond.
Groups.com.
Yes, that's the one. And, of course, hit up our YouTube. It's youtube.com/IGNBeyond. And make some friends over there. Make some friends on the internet. What could go wrong?
Murder.
Anyway, we'll be back next week with more fun for you guys. And yeah, that's it. Goodbye.
You have to say beyond. Beyond.
Beyond.
Beyond.
Beyond.
Beyond.
Beyond. Stop it.
Beyond.
Here's a quick question for you. How did you sleep last night? If your battle for a good night's sleep feels relentless, I have the answer. It's a podcast called Sleepwave, with meditations and hypnosis created to help you fall asleep. My relaxation techniques will help you feel calm and ready for sleep, with soft music that will help you fall asleep in minutes. Most listeners never hear the end of an episode, so search Sleepwave on your favorite podcast app and find out why over 1 million people have fallen asleep to my voice.
Hey there, it's Rachel Ballinger, and I am extremely excited to invite you to Rachel Uncensored. It's my podcast where I sit down and get real with my friends and celebrity guests, where we talk about all sorts of topics. And sometimes we might be under the influence when we do so. We cover things from personal stories to hot button issues. And it's the only place on the internet you can find an uncensored version of me. It's a side of me that you might not have seen before because it's not the most family or brand friendly. But don't worry, I'm still sort of slightly a decent human being. If you're intrigued, then make sure you check it out. New episodes drop every Wednesday. You can find it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Trust me, you won't want to miss out on the fun and candid conversations we have here on Rachel Uncensored.